your fault. Baby, it's the line. Not chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Rest make dab in the middle of it. Rest make dab in the middle. We are. Rest make dab in the middle of it. Right on schedule.
The Secret Truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We've got a lot going on this evening. And Biden was, he met with the Pope. He's in Glasgow now, Scotland, for the COP26. And that stands for Conference of Participants Round 26, and also meeting in Rome right now is the G20, and the G20 will be for 2 days, the 30th and the 31st, today and tomorrow, and then this COP26, which is the climate change conference in Glasgow, Scotland, will be from October the 31st to the 12th of November. It's quite an extended type of a situation there. And just to sort of remind you that of what these things are all about, the G20 has a motto that they come up with: people, planet, and prosperity. And you know, together our planet is the COP26. They have all these different, very glorious and high-minded, goals, that they want to achieve. But at the same time, China and India are still polluting, and Russia are still polluting at a high rate. They want us to cut down on carbon emissions, but they don't want to cut down on theirs. So that's not fair. Our first clip that we're going to play tonight, is Greg Reese, and he has some technology expose about adding nanotechnology into some of our foodstuffs and so forth. So anyway, I want you to listen to that, and then we'll come back and finish the program to the end. Thank you for being with us this evening.
Scientists have been designing ways to put their so-called vaccines in the food supply, and it seems they may have created an avenue to begin this. Brought to you by the American Chemical Society and four scientists from Communist China, functional hybrid micro-nano entities are being implemented to promote food safety, to detect hazardous substances in agricultural food products. They are putting in experimental hazardous substances. Molecular imprinting polymers integrated with quantum dots installs a surveillance platform into your food and body. Molecular imprinting polymers integrated with upconversion luminescent nanoparticles conducts chemical analysis of your food and body. Upconversion luminescent nanoparticles combined with metal organic frameworks are tunable porous metals that have the power to regulate the dispensing of nutrition to comply with international mandates. Magnetic metal organic frameworks are metal frameworks designed for targeting drug delivery. Magnetic covalent organic frameworks are used for sensing food in the human body. And covalent organic frameworks doped with quantum dots are used for detection of insecticides. If they wanted to regulate healthy food, they would promote organic growing, not inject a cocktail of metallic nanotech into the entire food supply. For InfoWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
It's getting really scary out here with all this high tech and nanotechnology and so forth. Now, coming up next is an interview they had, OAN had with J. Michael Waller, and he reveals at the top level how they were using high tech and social networks and so forth to overcome a triumph of Trump. In other words, to overcome an election triumph. And they used, all these people came together. There's not most of the people, left and right, Democrats, Republicans, and on the Republican side, you'd have to say it with the rhinos. They were out to get rid of Trump. He got in their way, see. And now they're over there with NATO and rubbing shoulders and everything else, establishing command center at Norfolk just recently, this last summer. They commemorated that. Had a big meeting there in Norfolk. And so they're just doing the big world order, the new world order in the deep state without Trump getting in their way. But anyway, this is an excellent interview that was on OAN. Here we go next with what was really going on behind the scenes to get rid of Trump.
Started out as a psychological operational tactic developed by the U.S. military to use against terrorist organizations abroad. It appears to have ended up as a Democrat Party strategy to defeat President Trump in the 2020 election. Dr. J. Michael Waller is a defense expert and was the first to spot it. What is Defeat Disinfo?
Defeat Disinfo was an entity run in the spring and summer of 2020 by military people, former military people, supportive of Joe Biden, and it was designed to enhance a disinformation narrative about Russian collusion and all these other things that have been disproven. But they were using their military prestige to make their own disinformation seem like it was anti-disinformation.
Using their own disinformation to wrapped in a cloak of this is anti-disinformation.
Right. To confuse the public, to get people angry, to make people fearful, to energize a base that for Biden that really wasn't there because he was so bland and out of touch that there was very little enthusiasm. So it was like a psychological warfare operation aimed at the American public by former military officers who had been involved in counterinsurgency to treat the American public as an insurgency and to squash it as one would squash an insurgency.
Dr. Waller would know because he helped develop these techniques to be used against America's enemies abroad.
As a civilian, I was involved in helping prepare elements of what became the counterinsurgency manual issued by the military under Nagel. Most of my parts were removed. They related to psychological warfare and using psychological warfare to a more robust way against the enemy. Well, Nagel didn't use that in the Army manual, but he did use it in 2020 against the American public.
John Nagel is a retired Army lieutenant colonel and a leading expert on military counterinsurgency tactics. And these are guys who know how to use that.
Sure. Yeah. Former General Stanley McChrystal was on the board of one of the firm that was manufacturing this. John Nagel, former lieutenant colonel, and another former lieutenant colonel of his name, Yingling, seemed to be the architects of it. Now, this was the people who designed the counterinsurgency manual against Al-Qaeda and the Taliban were the ones who came out in 2020 to weaponize these types of technologies and techniques against people who supported President Trump.
According to Waller, the retired military officers created a sophisticated computer algorithm that tracked pro-Trump messages on social media and paid influencers to counter those messages with anti-Trump propaganda. But that's not all they did. Two lieutenant colonels, Nagel and Yingling, they wrote a letter and made it public, but it was aimed at the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Milley. Right.
Yes, this letter showed some type of an internal network of former military officers and what one presumes were still active duty military officers to literally remove President Trump from office. They were anticipating an electoral confusion about the vote and about the tallying of the vote. They were predicting that perhaps President Trump would not leave office because there was no real tally of a real vote. Now, this is in July and August of 2020. This was way before the November crisis about accuracy of the counting of votes and all these other problems with the tallying. They were saying in July and August, we need to be prepared to remove Trump militarily. And the big mistake that they made was they showed their hand when they called on General Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, to intervene personally to have the President of the United States removed by force from the White House.
In the letter authored by the Lieutenant Colonels Nagel and Yingling, accused President Trump of, quote, assembling a private army capable of thwarting not only the will of the electorate, but also the capacities of ordinary law enforcement, unquote. Basically saying Trump is an enemy of the American people. But it wasn't just this group of retired military officers saying this. In August of 2020, Democrat Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi called not only Trump an enemy, but Republican members of the House of Representatives as well.
And sadly, the domestic enemies to our voting system and our honoring our Constitution are right at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue with their allies in the Congress of the United States.
What would they say now, do you think? Do you see evidence that this is that it ended after the election, or do you think it's still there's still this operation, ongoing operation taking place?
Well, these operations just don't stop. You have people who have either a political or a financial interest in having them continue.
It appears they haven't stopped. In January of this year, Pelosi again called her Republican colleagues the enemy.
When the enemy is within the House of Representatives.
Applying counterinsurgency tactics to politics in the U.S. may explain Democrats labeling their political opposition and Trump supporters a dangerous insurgency. Whether or not it will continue to be effective as a political strategy remains to be seen. For One America News in Washington, I'm Scott Wheeler.
That was Scott Wheeler reporting for OAN, One America Network. And he put up several clips of different individuals. His main interview was with J. Michael Waller, who had personal insider information about these operations against Trump. So go in there and drill down in that J. Michael Waller, search that out and do some additional research. We had a report from Joe Rogan a few days ago that over 200 representatives were treated with ivermectin in a secret way by a New York doctor or something. And actually this week, Alex confirmed that. And so I have a clip up there. It's a little rough. The last part of this audio is a little rough, but ivermectin has proven out to be a godsend for people with this virus, because it does take care of it. So anyway, and if it's true, I mean, it's been reported and verified, Joe Rogan, all these people, that these representatives were treated. And I think Dr. Zelenko also verified it, according to Alex. But here we go with that clip now.
The internet's a weird place. My phone started blowing up about an hour ago. I was getting text messages, multiple calls saying, did you hear about Dr. Pierre Corey? He says that 200 members of Congress were treated by him with ivermectin, but they want to keep it secret and aren't telling their constituents how great it worked for them. And I'm thinking, wow, where'd you hear that? They're like, Joe Rogan talked about it. So I called Joe up and he said, yeah, that's true. I talked about it with Michael Malice on my show like last week. And so sure enough, I went and found the clip online. Hadn't got hardly any views outside of Joe's show that's giant. And you know, Joe's point is, this is an example of media blackouts. There's a show with 10 times the viewers of CNN. He says this. I hadn't watched the whole Malice interview. I saw parts of it. It was great. In fact, I had dinner with them a few days after they had their interview with Joe and Malice and Lex Friedman. But the point is that Joe talked about this, and I didn't watch the whole podcast, so I didn't know. And the media that seizes on everything Joe says and others say, question the official COVID narrative, will not touch it. And so there's been a news blackout on this, even though this came out like 2 weeks ago. and now it's starting to break. So, yes, indeed, that is a doctor out of New York, a well-known doctor that treated Joe. Yes, that doctor is saying he treated 200 members of Congress, and they want it kept on the down low. And yes, the media then suppressed this story. So it's just crazy that even I didn't know this. But what I did know was from Dr. Zelenko. Dr. Zelenko said that he talked to a prominent New York doctor on my show. He said this a couple months ago. And that he had treated, again, hundreds of members of Congress and big tech and Hollywood with ivermectin. And he was a doctor to the stars. He didn't say who the doctor was, but now I know it's Dr. Corey. So that's such a small world. It confirms what Dr. Zelenko, who's a hero, had to say. He was the guy that first came up with hydroxychloroquine and then all these other treatments. And so this is just amazing to watch him try to censor and suppress all these treatments and all this stuff. And here it is hiding under my nose that one of his patients is Joe Rogan, who did get better with ivermectin and also a cocktail of other things. My dad had 82% oxygen, was going to have to go to the hospital, may have died. Went on ivermectin, amitriptyline, within hours, he was like 90% better. It was crazy. He had brain fog for a while, but by the next day, he was like 95% better. Within 5-6 hours, he was about 80% better. It was incredible. My mom was super sick. Boom, same thing as him, though she wasn't as sick as he was. I got it, and it felt like hell, couldn't breathe, very scary. The ivermectin, the amitriptyline, within hours, knocked it out again, 70-80%. Took a few days to get over for me after that point, so I can see how folks get panicked. They run to the hospital. They intubate you instead, and that kills 90%+ of folks that are intubated. So that's really, really scary about them trying to suppress what millions and millions and millions of people have done and had great effects from. And then the cowards in Congress, bipartisanly, but mainly Democrats that this guy was treating, would go to him and get this treatment and then sit there and go along with the cover-up of it. That's just aiding and abetting mass murder. That's Joseph Mengele-style crap. So I commend Dr. Corey for speaking out. Since we search engine this a little while ago, I found out he's been doing podcasts about it for a while. So again, even when Joe Rogan covers something and millions see it, if those millions don't go share something, then it's like a tree fell in the forest and nobody heard it but that audience. And so whether my audience is giant or Joe's is huge, you know, a ginormous, that's all true and important. But you guys have to understand the power you have of getting that info out. So it just started to break in the last 3-4 hours, and now it's going viral everywhere, and that's good news. And I don't know how CNN can even respond to this. They're probably just going to ignore it. That's what we're all thinking is about to happen, but we're not going to ignore it here in InfoWars. And the fact that 90%+ of those dying in hospitals had vitamin D deficiencies, they try to suppress that information. I mean, the people perish for lack of knowledge, as the Bible says. It's really true. But I'm just really proud of Joe and proud of Dr. Zelenko and Dr. Corey and all these people who are just standing up for what's right and saying no to this big pharma tyranny, where they're now even coming after our children. As young as 5, so they're going to get this experimental shot. And the regulators are all big pharma operatives. I mean, this is really scary to have big pharma and these corporations trying to come after us and try to lock us in our houses like we're in gulags in Nazi Germany or ghettos if we don't submit to them. And I just believe America and the world's waking up. I see that happening, and it's a beautiful thing. So share this video. The establishment does not want this information known. Here's a clip off Joe's hit podcast, Laid It Out with Michael Malice.
This ivermectin, see, has been... There are many doctors out there that are well-intentioned that were not clued in and not fully woke to these alternative treatments for this virus. And so they just didn't wake up early enough to save some of their patients. And some of their patients, expired under, you know, their ineptness. But anyway, coming up next is an interview that Alex had with Leo Zagame. He has quite an extensive background. He's Italian, with the church and with the Illuminati. And, I just want, putting this up, I want to say that I'm not against any Catholic members or members of the Catholic Church. It's just what we've got to, wake up to the fact is that at the top level of most of these institutions that we are members of or that we have become, you know, affiliated with over decades of living and so forth and becoming, a member, you know, these top level leaders are very corrupt sometimes. And this Pope Francis, comes out of Argentina. He's the first Jesuit Pope. But he has a history of going back with the liberation theology, which is a theology stating that Jesus was a socialist communist in his, could say, his teachings. And so they're saying that the way to overcome this evil money system and this capitalism is through a communistic system or going into through social justice types of activities. So and who's behind this and funding this is the corporate fascist element. And so anyway, I'll say a little bit more right at the end if we have time. But anyway, Leo Zagame, so what I'm trying to say here is that I have good friends that are good Catholic members of the church, and this is not to denigrate any members of the church, but it's to reveal some of their top leadership that at times in many of these institutions has become corrupt for one reason or another. It's power and money. But here we go now with Leo Zagame.
Thank you for having me on, and definitely today is a very important day because Joe Biden met with Pope Francis, and they, of course, discussed what's going to be also discussed in the future COP26 meeting that will be held soon also in Scotland. So we have a lot happening, and Pope Francis, of course, gave as a gift also his encyclical Fratelli Tutti, All Brothers, which is a clearly Masonic encyclical that the Pope has done to formulate and bring even further the project for his one world religion, which is coming together. So the Pope has been very busy, more as a geopolitical, political leader than as a religious leader, as you know. And of course, Biden said he's a very important leader in this moment, especially when it comes to the subject of climate change, because as you remember, a few years ago, I think it was 2015, and we discussed it when the Pope arrived also in America, but then he launched his encyclical, which is dedicated to basically climate change. So the Pope is all over the place when it comes down to the New World Order. He's definitely one of the key figures. And he has just appointed Jeffrey Sachs, which is a very controversial figure, as you know, very controversial economist who let millions of people starve in countries like Russia in the past. Jeffrey Sachs has just been appointed to the Pontifical Academy of Social Sciences. And we have also that in the fold, as well as the discussions that the Pope had with Joe Biden regarding the censorship. Because, as you remember, a couple of weeks ago, the Pope invited the social networks, the internet companies, for much tighter censorship and control of the freedom of speech. That definitely is something that...
And that's where I was going next. I mean, if anybody ever doubted that this black Pope, meaning Jesuit Pope, that you were the only person to predict 6-7 years before it happened, you even said his name, would be a tool of the devil. I mean, I'm not attacking Catholics in general. I'm not attacking Christians, and I'm not judging people, but you judge a tree by its fruits. I mean, this guy might as well be wearing red pajamas with a pitchfork. Who is he really? I mean, is he consciously an agent of Satan, or why is he pushing such an evil anti-Christian world government, open borders, agenda?
He's a Jesuit. He's the first Jesuit Pope in history, and he's being called to have a very unusual role after Ratzinger, who, as you know, was forced to resign by the Jesuit mafia that is basically the one behind his resignation, known as the Mafia of St. Gallen in Switzerland. So what happened is that this Pope has a mission, which is to completely destroy any remain of Christianity within the Catholic faith, which was already shrinked of the last remains during the Second Vatican Council, which was this important gathering that reformulized the Catholic faith in the early, until the middle of the 60s. It took place in the first half of the 1960s. And this event was very important because Freemasonry, which is now completely corrupt, took control of this Vatican Council and literally gave birth to what is now being unleashed fully by Pope Francis. This one world religion ideology that also is, of course, putting on a pedestal science, not God in the end. It is science that Pope Francis worship, not God when he...
Yeah, and isn't that a breaking point for a lot of traditional Catholics and people, period, that have any morals, that this... These vaccines are made with fetal tissue and dead people's tissue, and just from a health perspective, you shouldn't take that. A lot of the big Orthodox Jewish councils are saying don't take it, period, because of that, but he's telling us we need to take this. In fact, he said basically, you're not a Christian if you don't. That sounds pretty evil to me.
Yes, and thanks God we have still some voices of dissent, like we discussed earlier this morning with the Harrison. American journal, Harrison, yes. The Archbishop Viganò, this figure that used to be the Vatican representative here in the U.S. until 2016, he has warned U.S. Bishop about the COVID jab. He actually warned them and said the Great Reset wants billions of chronically ill people. So,
that's right. He just came out. That's why I wanted to get you on, too. In fact, I was already wanting to get you on before I started with Harrison. When we come back, I want to ask you about the particular bishop. We have a few seconds now, but he came out and said it is no one should take the shot and that it's basically poison. That he's about the bravest major Christian figure out there right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's a controversial figure. Like I said to Harrison, there is some doubts regarding him, mostly because he has never really been excommunicated, and the Pope has never had the courage to kick him out. But I think that mostly that is because he has untold secrets and things he could use himself to blackmail the
Absolutely.
Pope.
Absolutely. The Pope's scared of him, the so-called Pope. We'll be right back with Leo Zagami. Stay with us. Now and get prepared. And we are back live on the Alex Jones Show. Leo Zagami is our guest for two more segments. And then I'm going to hit the massive attack on Tucker Carlson, who's hit a nerve when he comes out with his new documentary series, The Coup Against the People, The Purge Against the American Population, that's got the system so incredibly scared, talking about false flags, the federal agents. Because they want to brand the American people as the new terror threat, as the official policy of the Pentagon, the CIA, you name it, being Christian conservatives. That's why it's called The Plot Against the People is the official name. And it's got the system scared because there's actually an American left. There's actually somebody with a big platform telling the truth. So that's coming up. And then we have one of the leaders of the movement in New York against forced inoculations, who's also in the top of the music charts, joining us in the last 30 minutes of the next hour. But going back to Leo Zagami, Leo, I always ask questions and you answer my questions, but you always, when I see you on other shows, when you have your own agenda, cover amazing stuff. What is front and center for you in the world right now with the developments with China, with the United States? How does the Vatican tie into this? Why did Biden just go to the Vatican? What's the inside baseball that nobody else knows but you? Because I know you always have stuff that nobody else knows other than the insiders and yourself because of all your contacts. I won't go through it, but the P2 Lodge and an insider in the Vatican and the rest of it from your aristocratic family in Italy.
Well, the Vatican, and in particular the papacy of Pope Francis, is the Chinese papacy, because since the beginning they have been corrupt by China, receiving immense quantities of money and staying silent on the persecution even of Catholics themselves. Recently we had the arrest of another bishop in China, and the Pope is not saying anything about it, because they have also made an official deal in 2018, and this official deal is also a secret deal that we are not really allowed to know what's written in this deal between the Vatican and China. So there has been bishops, priests in China tortured simply because they don't want to join the patriotic church and obey to the rules that are dictated not by the Vatican but rather by the Chinese Communist Party. Regarding the meeting of today with Joe Biden and Pope Francis, also very important is the subject of this woke ideology, which the Jesuits have been promoting on in their own publication here in the U.S., which is called America, which is the main Jesuit publication here in the United States, which invited Catholics to literally embrace being woke as part of our faith tradition. I'm quoting them here. So they said that basically it's unjust to mock the term woke because that's something done by right-wing people, and that basically we should not follow that, and with the political right basically using to weaponize it. So a firm criticism and a full support of the woke ideology, as well as critical race theory, and of course abortion, it's a very important subject today because it's been discussed by the U.S. Conference of Bishops, which is the one that Bishop Vigano addressed with his open letter a few days ago, in which he says also all those things regarding the experimental vaccine that he calls an experimental drug that has not been approved but only authorized for administration by the bodies in charge. So he's very clear about the fact that there is a lot of danger in using these vaccines, and they might ruin people and whole generations, because it's not only ruining yourself, you're transmitting then this whole thing to your son, your grandson.
That's right, it gets into your very, very genetics, creating the spike protein forever. It's an assault on our very DNA. It's synthetic. Let's expand on that. How is it affecting people that are actually conservative or Christian in the Catholic Church? Most Catholics I know are nice people, and they hate this Pope. I mean, he's so obviously not even Christian, much less following Catholic doctrines. He's a globalist, New World Order, transhumanist, woke monster, saying Europe shouldn't even exist, in quotes. So what is that generating out there with the Catholics, you know, not just here but around the world?
Well, there is, of course, a lot of controversy, especially with traditional Catholics. But now, in the last couple of weeks, there is actually a controversy within the actual Society of Jesus, within the Jesuits, after two fully vaccinated Jesuits who used to be very close to Pope Francis, died one after the other on the 13th and 14th. On the 13th and 14th of October, so they died in proximity with each other. Then their own funeral was celebrated in the Mother Church of the Jesuits in Rome. And apparently this has brought a lot of Jesuits, who are the scientists of the church, let's not forget that. The Jesuits are usually the more intellectual, the ones who are dedicated to the studies of science. And they are starting to wonder, why are we being forced into this vaccination if after we have such negative results? So the Pope had to also fight this internal war in the last few weeks, especially because one of the two people who died was a very well-known priest in Africa who was fighting HIV and AIDS. So he was rather known as a dean of the Pontifical Gregorian University, which is the university, the main Jesuit university in Rome. So this has definitely shocked a lot of people, the death of these two fully vaccinated Jesuits that died this month, and so there is a lot of criticism towards the vaccines, but nobody's saying anything because the Pope himself says that we need to all vaccinate ourselves. He's almost excommunicating the people who criticize the vaccines. So it's like you don't want to be criticized by the Pope, so basically most people stay silent. And we know, of course, that these two fully vaccinated Jesuits might have been immunocompromised individuals with serious problems. But apparently they were both in good health. So, as I said, even within the company of Jesus, there is some criticism now.
Well, that's the thing, is we've had a lot of big CEOs and globalists die for the shots, and executives in big tech. I mean, we're talking presidents, vice presidents. I mean, they're really doing it. They're really getting on board with the transhumanism, and a lot of them even have heart attacks. They say, "Oh, I'm still gonna take more shots, even though I had a heart attack from it." It's Stockholm syndrome.
And a lot of people ask me, but why are they killing themselves? Why are they suicidal? Well, I reply regarding, in the case of these Jesuits, I wrote an article on my website. The thing is that they have, of course, people who are spendable, people who are not spendable. I mean, if you have taken the fourth vow and you are a particular kind of Jesuit, then you might not die of the vaccine because you might have probably never took the vaccine, no?
Exactly. They only give the insiders the word on what to do and what not to do.
And then there is another thing that happened recently. All the Jesuit universities in the U.S. have been forced into taking the vaccination, I think aside from one, and even their seminars. You can't become a Jesuit without taking the jab today. And the same thing is for the majority of priests now. Most seminars are required.
Well, what an incredible cult. LeoZagami.com. I want to do 5 more minutes with you on the Jesuits and the fourth vow you just talked about. A few secrets with you. I want to get you back up for a full hour sooner. Hey, if you want to tape tomorrow for that special report, I'll get you on for 30 minutes. Commercial free. We really appreciate him coming on short notice. LeoZagami.com. Find his amazing books and inside intel. Nobody's more accurate about the Vatican than he is. He's amazing. We'll come back to him after the break. I'm going to hit that big news. Another guest joins us. But first, welcome back. Final segment with Leo Zagami, our Vatican expert. And expert he is. We don't get experts on that are experts at BS. We get people that are experts on being accurate for years and years and years. And he is. Leo, in the last 5 minutes we have here, big picture, how's the New World Order going? How is humanity doing in the fight against it? The Jesuits, who are they really? What is the fourth right? Let people know about that.
Yes, the fourth vow of a Jesuit brings them in an elite unit which takes orders that can be even extreme, like killing somebody. I mean, they act like secret agents for the Vatican. The Jesuits are the main force within the Vatican intelligence. So this fourth vow is only for some Jesuits, not for everybody. That's why at times you might meet Jesuits who don't really know the whole picture, because of course they are kept below what this elite unit.
Hillary was once asked, what is her world philosophy? And she said, Jewitical.
The philosophy here is basically Sabbatean Frankist philosophy mixed with what the Jesuits have picked up here and there during their almost 500 years of history. You see, there is this alliance between the Jesuits and the Sabbatean Frankists, which are themselves an heresy within Judaism.
Sure, and I was just quoting Hillary. She said, my worldview is Jewitical, meaning from the Jesuits. But yeah, it's crazy.
Yes, like I said, the Jesuits are an inspiration for all these people, and of course they were an inspiration even to the SS of Himmler. So I mean, the way they are so solemn and they take this solemn vow that really brings them not only to take the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, but also this extra expression of obedience and complete obedience and submission to the Pope regarding certain missions, well, makes them a very special order. That's why they came together right at the start of this counter-reformation from the Church, and Ignazio Loyola was a member of the Illuminati of that time called the Alumbrados. And some people say he was also connected to the Erev Rav faction of the Jewish tradition, which is born back in the, at the time when Moses went out of Egypt and brought with him all those high priests with him, not only Jews.
The Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin. And then that goes further, though. That goes further, doesn't it? That ties in to Adam Weishaupt, who was a Jesuit, but was also a part of that Jewish order. And he's the founder of the modern Illuminati.
Absolutely. Founder of the modern Illuminati, who brought this political element into the secret societies. How to manipulate, infiltrate, and mainly focus on the politics, because up until then the secret society were mainly focused on the esoteric, on the magical side of things.
How's the New World Order going for him? It seems like they're pushing ahead with it, but it seems like it's having a lot of problems.
Well, last week there was a very important meeting regarding artificial intelligence in the Vatican with the Illuminati. And then this meeting carried on also outside of the Vatican and in the Collegium Germanicum, which is part of the priests of German language who study to become priests. They all go to this Collegium Germanicum. However, there was a very important meeting, and because they discussed the artificial intelligence in regards to religion, and this topic was very important, and then transhumanism. They had even the authors of the Transhumanist Code, which is a very important book, considered a very important book by those who, of course, follow this twisted ideology. So the Vatican wants to be really on top of it all. I mean, they have, of course, control of everything that goes on in Silicon Valley.
And they've got their own radio telescopes. They've got their regular telescopes. They are definitely on the ball with a lot of things and going along with the transhumanist movement. LeoZagami.com. I haven't asked you yet on air, but Cruz is going to ask you if you can join me tomorrow for a Saturday special show, because I want you to be able to elaborate more. You can? Fantastic. We'll check with Leo Zagami. Thank you, Leo.
There you go with Leo Zagami, what he had to say that's really going on. And you know, he's really insightful, and he's someone to listen to and really pay attention to. Coming up next is Jay Dyer, and he's saying some things about how they recruit people into this very dark, very evil type of system through these parties, and then they recruit people into these things. But he has quite a bit to say. He's JayAnalysis.com. It's his website. He's written a lot of books and so forth. But he's very, very well versed in Hollywood and all this pop culture and so forth, and how that's being used to create this matrix that it's like a spider web we get caught up in. But anyway, this is Jay Dyer saying some really insightful things. Here we go next with him. This is Jay Dyer next.
Back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis, and we were just discussing the history and patterns of the beast system as it manifested in the ancient world and up into the times of the New Testament writers, and particularly the Apocalypse of John. And we noticed that there's a couple of commonalities that we see, is that usually these direct the worship of man not towards God, but towards some human-created thing, right? We saw that with the ancient pagan empires in the Book of Daniel, where they worship this giant statue, right, that's supposed to represent Nebuchadnezzar. And then we see that as we get into the period when John's writing, the beast system manifests as the Roman Empire that demands that everybody worship Caesar, right, or worship Nero as an instantiation of God and God's power, and no different than what the Egyptians mandated, right, that you worship Pharaoh as the son of Ra and so forth. So the point there is that there's an attempt in these systems to erect a one world religion, a one world governmental order, a one world economic order that attempts as best they could with that, you know, ancient technology to track and to trace and to follow everybody with some form of mark or some sort of identification that would be on your hand or your head or whatever. And through various, you know, tally systems and taking of a census of the population, those ancient imperial tyrants would try to control everything. And what I think the book of the of Revelation is telling us about the future is that when we get further towards the end of the world, we're going to see the same system manifest in a way that we've never seen before. So as we get to the point where there will be the attempt to have a global total tracking and tracing system, we're starting to see what could at least be the implication or the instantiations of that type of system now. I don't know. Again, I don't know. I'm just giving my analysis. If we're in the end times per se, we could be. There could be another 1,000 years left of the world, 10,000. I don't know. But at least what we're seeing manifest now is undoubtedly another version of that beast system. And the way that we see that manifesting now is quite obvious, right? We see people moving towards a global government, just a reinstantiation of the Babel, the movement towards a one-world religion, where Pope Francis has recently, after his meeting last year with the Grand Imam, attempted to set up this Abrahamic Faith Center in Abu Dhabi. There will be one in New York. There'll be one in Germany. And he's given his approval to this after that meeting with the Grand Imam of a new world religion concept that is kind of all the world religions in their basis, supposedly, right? So we're moving away from the specifics of Jesus or the Trinity or something like this. We're moving into the direction of a generic idea where you can just kind of copy and paste whatever you think God is into that equation. And, oh, you see, we're all worshiping the same God, and we'll just make Pope Francis the Petrine head, the Pope of the world religions. That's where this is going, right? That's the movement that we're seeing. And so Francis, really, in my opinion, seems to be kind of a figure like the false prophet in the book of Revelation, right? The head of this world religion that's no longer specifics of Christianity or even the other religions, Islam, Judaism, but now this new manifestation of a, oh, we need to recover the ancient original world religion, right? Before we got into the fights of Judaism and Christianity and Islam, there's a common core that now we need to recover. And that recovery world religion will be the new religion that maybe Francis will be the head of, or his successors, or whatever happens down the road. And I think that, you know, now that we see the Vatican and Francis and other world religious leaders too signing on to the idea of the World Economic Forum, the ideas of inclusive capitalism, as it's called, which is just stakeholder capitalism that Klaus is promoting, we start to see that this is all one system. Another manifestation, again, of the beast system. Now, I'm not saying that every Roman Catholic is a bad person or that they're bad intention or anything like that. I'm saying at the top of this system, it's the corrupt world religion leaders that are participating in this. And I would say the same thing for some of the corrupt leaders in the Orthodox world, some of the corrupt leaders in the Protestant world, as well as in Islam, and all the world religions really have a lot of corrupt heads and leaders. So I'm not attacking all the members of those religions per se, just pointing out that the way that co-opting and the steering and engineering of religions, what's sometimes called in the academic literature religious engineering, that usually occurs at the top level by compromising, co-opting, or installing already corrupted leaders in those high-level positions. And this is well known, right? I mean, everybody now knows about Jeffrey Epstein. Everybody knows about these compromise operations that have gone on for a long time, the DC Madam, et cetera. Those are examples of how high-level, powerful people are co-opted. You just heard in the last hour, right, the musician talking about how, you know, the parties that go on and how they kind of lead people into these wild parties to kind of get them co-opted. That's the standard model right there. So the beast system then manifests as a total, not just cultural warfare, which, you know, we saw last week when I covered the NATO cognitive warfare document. They said that psychocultural warfare is the main battleground of this system. And that's why pop culture is so important. Pop culture becomes an arm of the beast system that's almost like an evangelism tool, right? It's like both sides are doing evangelism. Satan has his evangelists and his minions that out, you know, that sort of do their evangelism into the system. And then there's evangelists, right, for the Christian theist side as well. So both sides have evangelism, and the pop culture psycho sphere is the main arm and tool, according to the NATO cognitive warfare document, which shows that culture is the battleground. Toxic culture is the real battleground. And so if they can get you into following all these, you know, idiotic pop stars who believe in and promote the beast system, then you're more likely to default into accepting the tracking and the tracing and the constant, you know, stabbies and injections and the constant, you know, whatever the system's promoting, the garbage food, the, you know, the poison tap water, the, you know, the fake medical system, the fake virtual world is coming. By the way, they're just announcing now the metaverse. For how many years had Alex, for example, been talking about the fact that the Matrix was a plan, not just a movie, but actually a Pentagon plan way before it became a movie? The Pentagon plan was, how can we put people into pods and they become human batteries that power the pod, and basically the pod then becomes their world, and they could just sit in there in their coon pod for the rest of their life as a battery for the system. And now we're getting that. Get in your pod, eat your bugs, and shut up, idiot. That's where we're going. Tiny living in a giant mega city high rise coon pod is your future. And then you'll just be eliminated. By the way, what, look at this, the weirdness of this, right? It's like, a bad B movie set walking around with, you know, these avatars and these PFPs. So here we have the Matrix rolling out right now, the very thing that we were told would be dangerous even in the movies, right? The Matrix trilogy, one of these great examples of fiction preparing us for what they would roll out 20 years later. And by the way, there's a new Matrix movie coming out, which I think will just be another version of, you know, telling us more about what's going on, right? So the revelation of the method that we've been talking about, this predictive programming element, is rolling out all around us in multiple ways. The beast system is a totality system, not just of economics and culture, but as we said, also changing the mind, changing the way man operates in terms of his brain chemistry, even as the document says, and changing everything in the biosphere as well. As
so, there we go with Jay Dyer, and very, very insightful stuff. And we have so many people out there, but they're alternative press, and they're not going to be, you could say that well disseminated, because they put them down, they curtail, you know, some of their broadcast. I had something that occurred to me just recently. And I put some stuff up on Twitter, today. And all of a sudden it was a protest, in Rome, a G20 protest. And Rupley is the one that covers some of this stuff, see? And so all of a sudden it popped up with 36 hits or views. And then I checked back about, 15, 20 minutes later, and it dropped down to 6. So, you know, the phantom banning is out there. It's real. We're being censored. Anyone that puts up something that's, controversial, like these protests against the G20, well, they're going to be banned or shadow banned or phantom banned or whatever you're going to say. So anyway, coming up next is Tucker Carlson making a few insightful comments on this $420,000 stipend that they're considering paying illegal aliens. Now feature that, but here we go with Tucker and what he said about that.
And yet, even by those impossibly high standards, we can confidently announce tonight that we have just read the single most deranged news story ever printed in this country. So no matter what happens going forward, and God knows what that'll be, this story will live forever as the high watermark of political lunacy. Mark your calendars. It's October 28th, 2021. This is the day that things couldn't possibly get nuttier. And here it is. According to a piece in this afternoon's Wall Street Journal, the Biden administration has decided to pay reparations to illegal aliens. In other words, foreigners who came here without invitation, who came in willful violation of legal statutes passed by our Congress per our Constitution, those people are about to get a groveling apology and huge amounts of cash. Why? Because our government dared to enforce its own laws, which now apparently is immoral. So the Biden White House is going to pay criminals for committing crimes. It's almost impossible to believe that's real, but it is real. According to the Journal, the administration plans to, quote, offer immigrant families that were separated during the Trump administration around $450,000 a person in compensation. The U.S. Departments of Justice, Homeland Security, and Health and Human Services are considering payments that could amount to close to $1 million per family. $1 million per family for illegal aliens at exactly the moment that American families are becoming noticeably poorer by the day. You won't be surprised to learn, according to the paper, that nearly 1,000 reparations claims have already been filed. Why not? The total payout from all this? More than $1 billion. So how much is that exactly? Well, let's see. If you're an American citizen who is killed in a war defending your country, our government promises to send your family $100,000. That is less than a quarter of what Joe Biden intends to give illegal aliens for the inconvenience of being deported. They're once again getting $450,000 a piece from your tax receipts. That's more than some of the 9/11 victims got. It's more than any ordinary American ever gets for anything from the U.S. government. Most people in this country just give. Foreigners with no respect for our laws or systems, meanwhile, are hitting the jackpot. So take three steps back. You've got to wonder how long this sort of thing can continue. How long before the people who make this country run, who, by the way, are not the same people who run this country, those are two very different groups, but before the people who make this country run decide they have had enough and they're not going to take it anymore? Why pay your taxes at this point? Seriously. It's too insulting. It's too destructive. It is evil. Now, who knows how long it's going to take to get there, but at this rate, it's coming quick. In the meantime, what can we know? Well, we can be certain how the rest of the world is going to see this announcement. Why wouldn't you cross our border illegally at this point? You'd have to be insane not to. Joe Biden is literally paying people who do it. So not surprisingly, as Fox's Griff Jenkins just reported, new waves of illegal migrants are coming here as fast as they can. Here's one caravan.
That was Tucker Carlson and his views and commentary on this $450,000 stipend to each person that's been wronged by our system. I mean, this is just crazy stuff. But I want to recommend a book. It's an older book. It's entitled Ecology, Ideology, and Power by Donald Gibson. And it basically lays out a premise that the environmental system, or environmentalism as it was first called, was put together by the corporations. So they created something that they could control, the controlled opposition that they saw that would rear its ugly head. But he's saying in this book, and it's on Amazon, so go in there and order it. And if you're a Prime member, you can get it within a day or two. But it's an excellent book, again, entitled Ecology, Ideology, and Power. And Donald Gibson, he's a retired professor from, New York. Yeah. And so anyway, go in there and order that book and read it. And it was published a few years ago, but it makes an excellent reference book on individuals and institutions that first joined in to this movement called environmentalism is what he calls it. And what he's basically saying is that, according to Malthus, it goes back to population control. You have the Club of Rome that came up with limits to growth and all these other things. But many of these people at the very top level are putting out, control of the environment because they want to limit the prosperity of entrepreneurial middle class people with high tech in their hands, because they want to maintain a monopoly over of manufacturing, distribution, and sale of their own products. See, and so and they're in there for population build down also, and so it's eugenics based. It's got a lot of different facets to it. But we're talking about the wealthiest individuals and, you could say, institutions and entities in the world that are behind many of these ecological, environmental types of movements. And it's a controlled opposition, and they're bringing about world communism. And the Pope is right in there with them and other people, see. And so if you look into this and dig into this, you'll find out. So I'll have several of these click-offs on our program site for tonight's program. But anyway, thank you for listening, and God bless each and every one of you. And good night. Thank you.